forever by my side.
Hey, you're listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sand Point, Alaska.
When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? Maybe an astronaut, or an athlete, or a marine biologist. When Grammy-winning mandolinist Sierra Hall was a kid, she knew she wanted to be a musician, but she didn't wait to grow up. She started playing at 8 years old and debuted at the Grand Ole Opry when she was just 10. And it all started in her tiny hometown in Tennessee.
It's such a small community back home that, everybody knows everybody, so we would go to jams in the next county over, and I started going to this community center on the weekends with my dad, where they would have a jam session and a little stage out front.
Coming up, Sierra Hall shares her story and talks about how her family and her lifetime of musical experience played into her new album, A Tiptoe High Wire. She'll also talk about the community of bluegrass musicians she's part of, including her mentor, Allison Krauss.
When I say she was my hero, I mean like she was my Michael Jordan.
Sierra Hall, today. I'm Raina Duris. This is World Cafe. To warm you up for that session, here's a song from the album that won the Best Contemporary Folk Grammy in 2001, a song with a title that, as an interviewer, strikes fear deep into my heart. This is Emmylou Harris. I don't want to talk about it now.
I don't want to talk about it now.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. If you want to become an expert at something, you have to put the reps in. You have to practice. You need experience. And bluegrass singer-songwriter Sierra Hull has a lot of it. The highly decorated mandolin player began her music career very young, putting out her first album at just 10 years old. And since then, she's never stopped. She's won multiple Grammys and is a six-time winner of Mandolin Player of the Year at the International Bluegrass Music Association Awards. Now in her early 30s, Sierra has the sure-footed confidence that comes with experience, and she put it to use on her latest album, A Tiptoe High Wire, her first album she's released independently since she was a little kid. Sierra Hull talks about making that album, about growing up in a tiny town called Birdstown, and about how family, both her literal family and her bluegrass family, made her into the musician she is today. Plus, she and her band perform songs from A Tiptoe High Wire, starting with Boom. This is Sierra Hull, live for the World Cafe.
One spark, and then boom, Sierra Hull performing live for the World Cafe. That song is from her new album, A Tiptoe High Wire. It's called Boom. My name is Raina Duras, and Sierra Hull is my guest today. Sierra, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you, Raina. So good to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. Before we dive into everything, could you introduce your band for us?
Sure, yeah. I've got just such an incredible band. So lucky to get to play with these guys on guitar. We've got Sean Richardson on bass, Eric Coveney, Avery Merritt on the fiddle, also playing a little guitar, and Mark Rodabaugh on drums.
We'll come back. We'll hear some more live performances from of songs from that album in a minute. The album's called A Tiptoe High Wire. My guest is Sierra Hull today on World Cafe. I want people to get to know you a little bit. You are from a small town in Tennessee called Byrdstown. I Googled Byrdstown. It looks like the population of Byrdstown is around 900 people to 1,000 people.
I think it might even be less than that now, which is wild to say. You know, somebody told me the other day there's maybe like 700 people there now.
Wow.
So
where, and I guess how, would you be exposed to music in a place like Byrdstown?
Well, there's so much music as just a way of life in that part of the world. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time through the process of talking about this record, like kind of thinking about my granny, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the song Spitfire here in a little bit, but the album A Tiptoe High Wire kind of comes from a song on the record that was inspired by my granny. And as I've sort of been thinking about that a lot and part of like this album, I do feel like where I'm from has shaped the sound of this album in a lot of ways and the stories. And, you know, music is not something that people in my family were trying to do as an occupation. Like, I'm the only one to really be on a stage, but like almost everybody in my family sang when I was growing up. You know, music in church was a big part of
right.
it. You know, my granny and her sister and brother, when they were growing up, you know, that's what they did to pass time on the weekends. You know, they'd sit around and sing old songs. And my mom was one of five kids. And so when she and my dad got married, they got married super young, and they basically built a house next door, bought a little piece of land right next door to my great aunt and uncle.
Right.
And so I spent all that time as a kid in their house every day, and my uncle Junior would play fiddle and guitar and mandolin a little bit. So those sounds were familiar to me,
sure.
Not necessarily in the bluegrass context, but like he was also a preacher. So, you know, again, going back to the music of the church and hearing all those kind of sounds, it's like he'd be playing just those old melodies, but he might play something like Wildwood Flower on the guitar or just old folk songs. Not necessarily like bluegrass, but still those sounds were mixed in with that kind of old-timey...
From really early on
yeah.
for you. You started recording your own music when you were really, really young, like 11, 10, 11, maybe younger than that?
I made my first, like, local CD when I was about 10.
Okay.
So I started playing at 8, and, you know, it's such a small community back home that, like I said, everybody knows everybody, so we would go to jams in the next county over, and I started going to this community center on the weekends with my dad where they would have a jam session and a little stage out front, and, you know, the kind of local community sweetly welcomed me in, and, you know, they rally for all the young people, and so my brother was playing at the time, too, so they would always, after a while, we'd be playing these kind of local pop-up kind of gig things, and they'd say, when are you going to make a CD? When are you going to make a CD? So the first recording I did was when I was 10, just recording
wow.
some kind of traditional instrumentals with a few of the local musicians.
Yeah. Was there a specific artist that you looked up to when you first started playing?
Well, I mean, my dad was really the first person who, you know, put an instrument in my hand, showed me how to play, you know, my first few chords. He was kind of learning himself. He had borrowed a guitar from my Uncle Junior. And so I learned my first few things from him, but he was really starting to get into bluegrass around the time I was 8. So about that time that he started to learn to play mandolin, that's when the bluegrass bug kind of hit our family. And you know, Tony Rice, I remember him bringing home a Tony Rice album when I was about 8 called Church Street Blues. And we loved that album so much, just constantly listened to that. I got my first Alison Krauss album when I was 9 years old, and that kind of changed my life, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Alison Krauss earlier. She's somebody who you worked with, you did get to work with, and it was has been a kind of a mentor to you. How did you connect with Alison in, like, real life?
Yeah, it's so wild when I think back because, I mean, when I say she was my hero, I mean, like, she was my Michael Jordan, you know, yeah. For, like, my brother's, Michael Jordan was his big obsession and hero, but, you know, she was that to me. I you know, dreamed of getting to meet her, let alone play with her someday and work with her. And, I mean, from getting my first album at 9 and becoming fully enthralled and obsessed to my dad seeing an advertisement in Bluegrass Unlimited magazine for a festival in North Carolina called Merlefest. Mm-hmm. And she was playing this festival, and my dad said, "Do you want to go?" And I was like, "What? Like, what?" And so I thought, wow, I'm going to get to meet her, because all of the festivals I had been to were tiny. You could just walk up to whatever local musician had just played and just be like, "Hey, great set." And so in my mind, it was going to work that way with her. I was just going to get to go to this festival. But this was a festival with loads of bands, you know, 100,000 people. Like, we get there, and I remember my mom saying, like, you know, "Honey, like, you know," because I just thought, of course, I'm going to get to meet her. And she said, "Well, you know, I don't want you to get your hopes up too much, because you might not get to meet her this time. You know, it's a big festival, and I don't know if we'll be able to, you know, walk up to her like you can some of the others, but at least you'll get to hear her play live, and you'll meet her someday if you don't this time." And I said, "Oh, Mom, please just pray I get to meet her. I just wanted to so bad." And then fast forward, I ended up meeting Chris Thiele, who's, of course, one of my other big heroes and influences, and we had just started listening to that first Nickel Creek album that Allison produced. Saw her name on the back of it and went, "Well, she produced this. Let's check it out." Heard him play mandolin. He became another big hero. I mean, and think about it. He was probably 20, 21 at the time. So, you know, still kind of just a kid himself. But he had played one of the side stages doing a little workshop, and people were walking up to him. It was like a little offshoot stage. And so I got my photo with him. Fast forward, somebody stops me and says, "Are you that little girl that was playing last night? You know, will you play something for my daughter?" Well, I had just had Chris sign my mandolin strap that said "Girl Power." And so I'd taken the strap off the instrument, and I said, "Well, sure, I'll play something." Well, I didn't have my strap on my instrument, so I just kind of knelt down in the grass to play the tune. And my dad said, "Well, she just met Chris Thiele. She's been trying to learn one of his tunes. Why don't you try to play that?" And so I gave my best shot at playing this tune called "Ode to a Butterfly" from that first Nickel Creek record. And next thing I know, I mean, I'd been sitting there playing for a few minutes, but somebody like darted over to Chris and got him away from this crowd. I don't know how they did it, and brought him over to where I was. And by the time I looked up, I mean, I was like knelt down on the ground. By the time I looked up, there's Chris Thiele.
Oh my gosh.
And he says, "Holy cow, want to play it together?" And he jammed with me for 2 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And he took me backstage to meet my hero, Allison Krauss. That's and it was amazing. Just this unbelievable full circle moment. I didn't get to play with her or anything then, but then fast forward, I met one of her band members, and then she randomly called me about 6 months later to come play the Grand Ole Opry with her, which is...
Well, we'll come back. Yeah, we'll talk wild. About that a little bit. But first, let's play "Ode to a Butterfly" from Nickel Creek on World Cafe. So that was a bit of Nickel Creek's "Ode to a Butterfly." That was a song that my guest today, Sierra Hall, played on mandolin almost unintentionally for Chris Thiele when she was really little.
Attempted to play also. I gave it my best go. That's a tough tune.
Sierra Hall's my guest. She has a new album called "A Tiptoe High Wire." Before we hear you perform another song, you've talked a lot about how important your family was to your own sort of musical development and journey so far. The next song we're going to hear you perform is a song that you wrote inspired by your grandmother called "Spitfire." And it sounds from the lyrics like she lived a pretty hard life. What can you tell us about your grandma before we hear this?
Yeah, well, so my granny, you know, lived so much life in her 80 years that we got to have her. You know, the opening lyric of this song says, "Young love, 1 month a wife, river took him under, took his life."
When I actually sat and listened to, like, the words in this song and really was paying attention, I was like, this is incredibly sad.
It's a sad lyric, you know, as she cried, "Oh Lord, how can I be a widow before 18? I mean, she lived that, you know, yeah. And you know, obviously I got to have her in her later years, but like, you know, she was this fun, but like fiery woman, you know, she wasn't going to be pushed around. You know, you knew that she was okay with being who she was at all costs. And I always found that to be so admirable because, you know, you realize only later as an adult, I think, when you start digging into your family history, or she could tell stories, I mean, so vividly. She would remember all the, like, I can hardly remember what happened last week, but my granny could be like, you know, back in 1952, you know, this so-and-so, you know, and one day she was just telling me all these things. We got talking. It was me and her and my mom and my great aunt Betty. And granny was just, you know, she was a big talker anyway. So she was just telling these stories. And I said, "Granny, I said, do you mind if I just record this?" I said, "'Cause you know I'm going to forget all these details, but you know," and she's like, "I don't care, go ahead." So anyway, I took a little voice memo and started recording it. And, you know, she was just telling me all these stories, and I got to ask her, like, what was that like? Like, how did you move on from that? And then later she would talk about something else, and I'd say, "Well, you know, how did you get through that?" And I just thought, man, the resilience of that woman and all the things that she had gone through, whether it was health things or family tragedies or just growing up poor. You know, she went to maybe the sixth grade and, you know, went on to pick beans in the bean field after that, as a lot of people in that kind of rural Appalachian upbringing did, you know, just to be able to make ends meet. And so, you know, just been through so much. And I finally was like, gosh, I got to write a song about this, you know. So the song never says explicitly it's about my granny, but more a story of things in her life. But I feel like it's more of an ode to all those resilient souls that teach us what strength looks like, you know.
Well, let's hear it. Performing live for the World Cafe, this is Sierra Hall with Spitfire.
Young love, 1 month away, the river took him under, took his life, and she cried, "Oh Lord, how can I be a widow before 18? New love moved too fast. Little bitty baby blue lights a crash, and she cried, "Oh God, is this a dream? How could you take him from me?" She's a spitfire, spitfire, tougher than thorns on a briar. And you really can't blame her when she's easy to anger. Oh, she's a spitfire. Stole his heart, and she cried, "Oh God, just take me now. Damn it, give me strength somehow. 5 kids and broke with no way out." She's a spitfire, spitfire, queen of the tiptoe high wire. And you really can't blame her when nobody can take. Big and small, her son died young, her kidney too. With callous smile, she pushes through. She's a spitfire, spitfire, the take it or leave it desire. And you really can't blame her when she's easy to anger. Oh, she's a spitfire. Thank you.
On World Cafe, you just heard Sierra Hull performing Muddy Water from her new album, A Tiptoe High Wire. I'm Rena Duras, hanging out with Sierra Hull today. I was watching an interview that you did, and you mentioned that the mandolin often takes on the role of the rhythm section in a bluegrass ensemble, and things get a little bit more complicated when you bring in a drummer and you bring in more drumming. And I thought that was really interesting. I want to play a clip of the instrumental song, Lord, That's a Long Way. It's a track where the mandolin really shines through. There is also drumming in it. Could you talk a bit about arranging this song and putting it together?
You know, I was feeling inspired when we did our first shows together and brought these guys in. And we were playing a lot of the music from the 25 Trips album at the time, but I had written some other things and was kind of continuing to write. And Lord, That's a Long Way was one that I kind of went, what would it sound like if I could write a tune for this instrumentation, for this group of musicians? You know, I grew up playing all these kind of fast instrumental bluegrass, slang term is a fiddle tune, you know, whether you're playing it on the mandolin or whatever, but all these kind of fiddle tune things. But then the moment you add a drum kit in, there's this different thing that happens. And for folks that maybe aren't as familiar with bluegrass, you know, usually there's not drums and more traditional bluegrass. It's more fiddle, banjo, mandolin. And mandolin kind of takes on the role between the mandolin and the bass. You sort of get the rhythm section and the drum kit kind of between those two instruments, with the mandolin being more like the snare.
Yeah.
By doing a thing that we call chopping. And so I knew that it had to be the right drummer, somebody that like, couldn't just be anybody that could just kind of show up and do it. So I met Mark, the drummer that's here with us today, and he's got such incredible sensibilities. You know, he can play really soft, he can play quiet, or he can really lean in and be full-blown drums when you need that. So I knew it had to be somebody that together we could try to collectively marry the mandolin and drum world together in a way that could gel. And there may be times where I'm sort of leading the rhythm section, and there's times where he's leading the rhythm section. And that's great. As a singer, I can relax into that and let him lead sometimes and be more of a color instrument, which the mandolin doesn't always get to be in bluegrass. So this tune specifically, I wrote thinking about playing it live and thinking about what it would feel like with this particular group of musicians where all the instruments kind of join in, and particularly the mandolin and drums can have hybrid roles where it's kind of like bluegrass meets fusion a little bit.
It's such a cool song. I'm going to play a clip of it from the album right now. This is Lord, That's a Long Way from Sierra Hull's new record, A Tiptoe High Wire. That's a bit of the album version of the song, Lord, That's a Long Way, from Sierra Hull's new record, A Tiptoe High Wire. The last song we're going to hear you perform today sounds like it could be about the whirlwind of touring. On the album, you're joined by Aoife O'Donovan on this song. She's not here today, but we're going to hear you play it. It's a song called Let's Go. Was there a moment on tour that sparked this song specifically?
Yes, for sure. So once I did get back into touring, you know, in 2021, when things were starting to open back up, put this band together, my touring schedule became kind of insane. And it was all stuff I wanted to do. It was like I was touring with these guys. I was touring with Bela Fleck, and I did a couple tours kind of guesting with Corey Wong. And so I think, you know, I looked up. I had been in Kansas City the night before when I started writing these lyrics, and I was in Colorado at the moment, and I went, I was just in Kansas City. I've been three times in the last 12 months, like between my band, being there with Bela, being there with Corey. And then I was like, how many times have I been to Colorado this year? So I pulled out the calendar and I started counting, and I was like, oh my God, I've been 12 times already. And it was like summer.
Wow.
late summer. And I was like, my goodness. So I kind of just started writing these lyrics for fun. And then I really leaned into musically writing for these musicians, you know, imagining what this band could sound like playing a particular thing. So trying to find, you know, ways to give everybody their own space. And then, of course, I take my little measly ideas, and then they actually make it come to life, you know, with their extreme talent, but
well, I'm glad you clarified the lyrics, because when I was listening to it, I'm like, how is this tour schedule physically possible? musically, I mean, really, it kind of takes off when you say let's go in that chorus, right?
Yeah. This song is a bit of an anthem for just getting pumped for those highs and lows on the road. So let's go.
Let's go. This is Sierra Hull live for the World Cafe.
Colorado once, twice, 12 times now. Can you hear the sound? Snow on the mountain, rain on the hill. Nerves are raging, you take a little pill. Look up, look out, look
performing the song Let's Go from her new album A Tiptoe High Wire. That was Sierra Hull. Thank you so much. She's been my guest today. It's been so great talking to you.
You too. Thanks for having me. I'm such a fan of the show, and yeah, just a real honor to get to be here with you guys.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard my session with Sierra Hull, a fun one to listen to, also a really fun one to watch, to see her and her band play. They're all extremely talented, and it's cool to see them work together in their bluegrassy way. You can watch that video at worldcafe.org and on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/worldcafe. Here's the Rolling Stones. Till the next goodbye.
is there any place that you would like to eat? I know a coffee shop down on 52nd Street. And I don't need no fancy food and I don't need no fancy wine. And the show don't need the tears you cry. Till the next time we say goodbye. Till the next time we say goodbye. Till the next time we say goodbye. I've been thinking of you. Street ain't a very likely place for you and I to meet. Watching the snow swirl around your head, around your feet. And I'm thinking to myself, it surely looks a treat. Till the next time we say goodbye.
About the stars. there's a setting sun. Tall buildings shake, voices escape, singing sad, sad songs. Tuned to chords strung down your cheeks, bitter melodies turning your orbit around. Don't cry, you can rely on me, honey. You can come by anytime you want. I'll be around. You write about the stars, each one is a setting sun. Tall buildings shake, voices escape, singing sad, sad songs. Tuned to chords strung down your cheeks, bitter melodies turning your orbit around. Voices whine, skyscrapers are scraping together. Your voice is smoking and last cigarettes. All you can get, turning your orbit around. Out of, out of, out of is all we have. Everyone is a burning sun. Tall buildings shake, voices escape, singing sad, sad songs. Tuned to chords strung down your cheeks, bitter melodies turning your orbit around. Voices whine, skyscrapers are scraping together. Your voice is smoking, last cigarettes are all you can get, turning your orbit around. Last cigarettes are all you can get, turning your orbit around. Last cigarettes are all you can get, turning your
around. I've tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Before my time made your heart sad and blue, and so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. In anger, unkind words I said that make the teardrops start. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? that you belong to me. But now I know your heart is shackled to a memory. The more I learn to care for you, the more we drift apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold?
Two songs that could have been on the same mixtape back in 2002, Cold Cold Heart by Norah Jones, following up Wilco, Jesus, etc. Haim is next on World Cafe. Hey, I'm Raina with you on World Cafe. Can't believe we're talking about September already, but get out your calendar because Haim has announced their tour dates for the fall. It begins in Philly on September 4th. They'll also be playing Madison Square Garden and a whole bunch of other places. They're touring behind their new album, I Quit, out next month. Here's Haim, Relationships. We'll be right back.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.